This is the Valley Outdoors, and we are glad to have you guys with us. Don is here.
I'm back.
And Ava is with us.
I'm always here.
And me, I'm here. That's all that matters. Last time I checked. A lot of fun on the show today. We're going to be talking with JR Civic about early ice and what kind of things have happened with all these fun and games storms across the upper Midwest. We're going to talk a little bit about that. We're going to talk about that muskie we talked about that a couple weeks ago that was pulled out of Mille Lacs. So we'll talk about that as well and what the story is behind that particular fish. That and more when we return. Eric Olson here, professional walleye tour champion, avid outdoorsman, and host of the Valley Outdoors radio show. Aquatic invasive species, or AIS, threatens not only our rivers and lakes here, but everywhere we boat. They come in many forms, and they love to hitch a ride to the next body of water on your boat or trailer. Join me to stop the spread of AIS by cleaning all weeds and aquatic material from your trailer before leaving the launch ramp. Drain live wells and clean areas that don't drain completely. Plus, don't forget to pull the plug. Clean, drain, dry. Together, we can make a difference. Well, Don, lots going on in the show today.
That's good.
Yeah, I think it is. We got some couple ice fishing topics going on. We're going to have to talk to JR, get an update of what's happening around, kind of around the state, some different understandings of what's happening with the ice conditions and what happened after this last week's circus that we call our weather at this
moment.
Yeah,
that was a beauty, wasn't it?
Man,
I've never seen anything like that. But you know, thankfully, in our area, where I'm from, it didn't hit quite as hard as I was expecting.
Yeah,
it did roar all night though. But I just got a few twigs in the yard. But I got a feeling there's lots of places that can share bigger stories.
I was talking to a couple guys today over in Michigan and on the western shores of Lake Michigan, and they said it was a bit of a windy day this couple days this last week, like really windy days. So
yeah.
We definitely got hit with some stuff, shall we say. So ice fishing, we talk about safety. I got 10 tools for staying alive while ice fishing. A friend of mine, Ross Robertson, wrote an article on this, and he's out from Lake Michigan area in Ohio as well. There's a lot of fishing out there. So 10 things. You ready, Don?
Okay, I'm ready.
10 things. GPS. Have a GPS with you. How many people, and we've heard stories, and I've seen it and hear stories of people, they're driving their ATV on the ice, and they drive it right off into the lake because they didn't actually mark where the edge of the ice was going to be. And the advantage is you can click on it, you know where it's going to be, or have an understanding.
You mean into open water?
Into open water. Right down to the bottom.
I'm going, why am I on the ice when there's open water?
There is that. Can't fix stupid. But these guys go late season on Erie, and they can catch some pretty big fish.
Oh, wow.
It's touch and go, though, I will say that. If the wind blows the wrong direction, Don, they
you're
have to rescue.
You're in trouble, yeah.
And you have to leave your vehicle on the ice. They will not rescue the vehicle.
Now, this happened up in, it wasn't Green Bay last year.
Happened in Green Bay.
Floated out, junk broke off.
Number two, hand compass. Simplest of all, doesn't matter. It's not going to malfunction. You don't need to have a battery. You'll have an idea where you're going and where you need to get to, because a lot of times you can get in a whiteout situation.
I was just going to say, you could be out there and the wind come up and you don't know left from right or up from down.
Exactly. Ice picks, very important aspect. Most ice anglers usually have spikes with handles draped around their necks. It's a mandatory safety gear thing, and that way if you do fall in, you can claw your way back up onto the ice, and they are not going anywhere. It's kind of like a neat thing. They're there. They're around your neck. You're going to have to be able to get them and pull them back
up. You ever see anybody wear a life jacket?
Coming up on that.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. A throw bag. It's basically a rope in a bag that can be tossed to anybody that needs to be rescued, which is a good idea. It needs to be strong enough, obviously, the rope-wise, and it typically is 25 feet long. And you need to pull somebody even out of an ice crack if you're, if it gets to be that point. So
I carry one of them in my boat all year.
The other one is, it's important to have the rope tied to you, and you drag the bag behind you when you walk out if you fish solo.
Oh, sure.
So if someone is actually gets to you, or you do have an issue, they can take care of that. VHF radio, those are easy to put on there. Battery operated, not a problem. Have it with you on your sled, and that works fantastic because the Coast Guard does monitor it if you're on the Great Lakes.
Sure.
So they can rescue you. Float suit. Clam makes some amazing float suits. I've seen those, and we actually did a Bob Masecomber show up at Eagle Lake way up, and they always do a test, and they have to draw straws to see who has to jump in with the float suit on, and it's just about frozen water, and it's pretty crazy how well it works, but it is a lifesaver without question. And if you're a big ice fisherman, that's stay warm and don't worry about falling in at that point. You can get to shore or get to the edge of
the
ice.
Get back up on the ice.
Ice cleats, often referred to as spikes, gives you traction when drilling holes or even just walking on the ice. The funny part is, you ever watch somebody that's on flat ice trying to drill a hole in the ice?
They go around the auger?
Some guys do it on purpose where they jump on the big gas auger and just spin on it and hit the throttle and spin. I think we've seen that before.
That,
again,
that was after happy hour.
Somewhat happier when they're done. It's kind of watching the baseball bat spin around the baseball bat.
Right.
Yeah, same concept. Spud bar. Spud bar is the easy way to be checking as you go out. It's probably the single tool that will tell you how far you're going to be able to go. Exactly,
yep.
Correct. It's not too hard to put it in the your snowmobile, have a bracket on it, or if you're going to have it on your towable. Yeah, or you're just pulling it, walking out, which is primarily the big thing.
Right.
It definitely works there. A float plan. Some tools don't have to get packed in a sled. Simply telling somebody where you're going is important. And same thing if you're on a trail or out hunting, same concept.
But how do you do that when you're on a big lake? I'm going out on the lake. I mean, try to find...
Well, no, what you do is you say, I'm going out of this entrance or this ramp, and I'm going to be heading out into this particular area. Then they know when to expect you and when... It may be somebody doesn't get it, but if you tell a friend or two that that's where it's going to be, or you put a note at the at home, definitely can help. Last but not least, I think we've seen enough videos where this one oftentimes is lacking, and it's called common sense. You can't fix stupid. Toffin said common sense isn't all that common. Well, we don't know if we can all argue that point. Situational awareness while ice fishing is important. And it's never more important than when you're on early ice. I've actually fished on Lake Superior in early ice. And let me tell you something. That's an experience and a half. You're fishing through an ice hole, and all of a sudden the ice hole closes up because the next sheet of ice just closed completely underneath you. Time to get off the ice. It's done. It's scary. So, nonetheless, those are your safety tips. We'll tell you what, we are going to be right back with more Valley Outdoors and J.R. Civic coming right up. Welcome back, everybody. And, of course, there's tons of you out there that get to check out the website, The Valley Outdoors. Where else, Don?
On Facebook.
Facebook as well. Lots of good stuff there. Links. All the connections you can possibly imagine. Click on a state. It'll take you to the DNR site so you can look up hunting, fishing, anything you want. And just really kind of cool. Kind of set up nicely.
Works well.
Yeah, it does. So make sure you check that out. Joining us, good friend of the show, good friend of mine for many, many years. Excellent guide. And really, JR, what's happening out in Tonka now? I mean, with this last week's weather extravaganza is about the best I could put it. I mean, you could almost have an ice NATO if it would have hit the lake. What's going
on
out there?
Absolutely. It's pretty brutal out there. It's not trustable ice by any means. There was a few people fishing the last couple days in a few of the channel areas that got little lakes in them, but there still was a lot of water on the ice, and in those areas there's current, so areas I avoid.
Well, and of course, if you're more of a novice ice fisherman, you think, oh, it's there's got 2 or 3 days of cold temperatures, it's going to be just fine.
Well, it doesn't operate like that because we got all that snow. You know, if we had 2 inches and then we got 8 to 12 inches of snow, that just insulates the ice. It doesn't, you know, the growing process isn't very good at that point. So it kind of put a halt on it. I mean, it probably did grow a little bit, but not big amounts like it should have. Now, looking at the forecast, this weekend starting obviously tonight, last night was really windy, so that was just blowing sheets around. That wasn't doing much. But this weekend we should be growing ice. I think I'll be walking out sometime next week.
I mean, that's the odd part. I mean, we thought, okay, we got snow on the ground, we're winter, and next thing you know, you got a day of 60-degree temperatures, rain, and then tremendous wind. I mean, that warm wind does a lot to the ice and really makes it difficult to do anything as far as making a solid ice condition. Almost literally from here on out, it's got to be a very cautious scenario when it comes to really making ice in that kind of a setup.
Yeah, we need weather under 19 degrees, and we need very, very little wind, and pray for no rain.
So the fishing before everything kind of went south, was there any fishing going on that you had to speak of as far as getting out, doing a little bit?
I got out just north of Stillwater on a smaller lake last weekend. I found 3 to 5 inches, just a little panfish lake. And other than that, the ice kind of just tapers as it comes south. So I have a buddy that guides on Flag Island full-time, and they're already driving up in the islands.
Mm-hmm. Up in
and,
Lake of the
you
Woods.
Know, then Red as well, you know, and then you get down to Mille Lacs, and Mille Lacs is kind of a war zone right now because they had ice, and then we got them big west winds, and it blew the sheet all the way to the east side, and I seen reports today from Hunter's Nitty's Point, and they couldn't see out far enough to see where all the ice piled up, and there's tons of open water on the west shore.
So realistically, what it does is it gets to a point the ice stops at shore, and that ice that's being moved is still going to just pile right up on top of the existing ice. So that could make it almost impossible to drive in any manner as this would freeze and cause a major kind of, shall we say, blockage.
Yeah, let's hope that doesn't cause any blockage, because I spend a lot of time up on the ice up there, and you know, they plow the best and biggest road out on the lake, and they monitor it really well. And you know, if it's stacked 4 to who knows how high, you know, 2 miles out, that's going to be a lot of work to get through that.
Not fun. Well, and of course they were just, I mean, they weren't letting even people go out and they're walking on the ice.
Nope. I did hear one resort on the southeast corner was allowing walking traffic. Not very far, I guess, but they were monitoring as well, and they had things staked out, and I didn't get a full ice report on how thick it was, but I don't know what the winds and the way the weather's been. Ice is not very ideal right now, especially in the metro.
So what do you – go ahead, Don.
Yeah, I was going to say, who monitors the ice and the conditions that so that most people know that it's safe when they're heading up?
So if you watch all the resorts, if you follow them on social media, usually someone from the resort will do a report. Nitty's Point, for example, Justin does all their reports. And he does them pretty frequently. You know, they're liable for having the road and everything, so they got to really keep track of what's going on, where the cracks are, if things have moved, if a new crack formed, you know, do we got to get a bridge out? You know, there's a lot of operation that goes behind building these ice roads. It's not just get a plow truck and plow. So yeah, they put a lot of work and a lot of effort into it, and
so
really cool to see that they do that for everyone, so everybody can get out and enjoy the good fishing out there.
And I think the point, Don, is they do self-monitoring, but they have to because they're literally liable for anything that happens on the ice. So if you're looking at, let's say this weekend's going to be kind of probably the first solid scenario to go out and do some ice fishing. Let's say it's on Tonka. Obviously, they can look you up. We'll get that towards the end of the show. But what would you be doing? I mean, you're going to look at what's
probably going to set tip-ups out and go out with a couple people and make a pretty good spread and kind of figure it out from there. You know, early ice is it's tough because most of the time you can't get to those spots you really want to fish. So you cover some water and throw a bunch of tip-up spread out. You can kind of pinpoint where little groups of fish are, and you can then drill holes and jig on top of them and try to get them that way. Them fish are still eating pretty heavily, so, you know, a big size sucker minnow on a treble hook. Probably be my best bet right now.
Pike are aggressive, too. That's the big thing.
Yes, 100%.
That's awesome. That's awesome. So you're going to be doing that this weekend?
I'm probably going to head out on Sunday.
Cool.
I got to go truck shopping this weekend.
Truck shopping? So, what happened?
Yeah, I ended up getting in a car accident and totaling my truck out. So
there wasn't a boat on the back, was there?
No, thank goodness, because that's packed away for the year. I was on my way to pick the little one up after work, and young kid had run across the street, and guy in front of me slammed the brakes on, and boom.
That's not good.
Is everybody okay?
Yeah, I'm doing okay. I fractured my collarbone, and my shoulder's kind of jacked up, but other than that, I'm going to the doctor and getting it taken care of.
So which one, your right arm or your left arm?
My left arm, and I'm left-handed.
Oh, man.
Boy, that hook, you're going to really work that hook set on the other side.
You can jig with the right arm.
You have to learn, right?
and you're going to be wearing ice cleats because if you wipe out, it would not be a comfortable scenario.
Oh, man, I'm not looking forward to that at all.
No.
Oh, man.
Well, geez.
Sorry to hear that.
I'll tell you what, JR, go knock them dead. And where can people find you again? We'll have it on their site, but where can people find you? And
you can find me. You can go on social media, JR Civic. You can personally message me there or Memories Made Guide Service. And if you do ask for me, Mike Farrell will answer the phone. And we have three guides that run, so just ask for me and
you're set.
Get something planned.
Fantastic. As always, JR, we certainly appreciate it. And you be careful out there, especially with that busted up body. And be safe. Good luck.
Yeah, thank you.
You bet.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks so much. Appreciate it. And we will be back with more Valley Outdoors right after this.
Eric Olson here, professional walleye tour champion, avid outdoorsman, and host of the Valley Outdoors radio show. Aquatic invasive species, or AIS, threatens not only our rivers and lakes here, but everywhere we boat. They come in many forms, and they love to hitch a ride to the next body of water on your boat or trailer. Join me to stop the spread of AIS by cleaning all weeds and aquatic material from your trailer before leaving the launch ramp. Drain live wells and clean areas that don't drain completely. Plus, don't forget to pull the plug. Clean, drain, dry. Together, we can make a difference.
Welcome back, everybody. I have to tell you, the shenanigans off air just never end. Ava, how did you think you did that last
segment? I struggled to come up with one word, so I used like 10.
How'd that
for
work?
Begin. You may start. Go.
You're good. Let her rip.
Yep. Recording.
Take it away. Go. You're good.
Let's get the show going.
Yes.
Don, chill out. We're having a moment here. We're trying to give her.
We don't have time for a moment.
Yeah, well, we do. But that's okay. Speaking of which, Christmas is a moment.
Yes.
And in every kid's life that's in a hunting family or in that realm, it's always one of those Peter Billingsley's mornings when you come down the stairs and the Christmas presents are underneath the tree and the only thing you're looking for is that long box.
What does
it have in it? A Red Ryder BB gun. Or something similar. If you've already graduated from the Red Ryder BB gun, then there's some other things that are out there that are pretty cool that I just happened to pull up from my little research that I did. And it's made by Savage Arms. It's called the Savage Rascal. It is the best, what they're saying is, it's possibly the best beginner gun for kids. In this particular case, obviously, firearm handling is an important aspect. And what do you want to look for when it comes to a kid's gun, Don?
Safety.
Safety. Yep. Well, size. So in this particular case, look at size. It shouldn't be too big for them. And there should be able to reach the trigger from how it's wrapped around the handle depth or the
instead of your elbow to your index finger.
Exactly. Yep. Weight shouldn't weigh a lot, obviously, because they need to be able to carry. And less recoil, obviously, in a 22 scenario is always a good way to start.
What does this rifle shoot?
We're going to get to that.
We're
just going through the selection process in general first.
Okay.
Then we go into that. And also, price obviously is an important factor. You don't want to pay an arm and a leg for it. So that's key.
Okay.
What are you laughing about? An arm and a leg?
Yeah. Yes.
It's all good. It's all good. So how does this, the Rascal, stand up? All right. So we're dealing with $199. Good price. We're looking at a barrel length 16 inches, 22 caliber, long rifle.
Okay, it's shooting a...
Yep. Magazine capacity of one.
Okay,
that's
safety.
Exactly correct. What's nice to know in this particular case, you do have a lot of room for growth. It will fit a larger group of kids, which is nice. So that is a pretty neat deal. It's available in pink for the girls.
Okay.
In this particular case. And really... As a starter gun, you'll find it. It'll be on sale for about $169. So, pretty neat deal.
So, and I'm guessing this is one that you can safely say you probably won't shoot your eye out. Because you're not going to be using it down in the basement shooting tin cans like they probably are with their BB guns when they get them.
Exactly.
And you're probably going to have adult supervision when you are using.
Exactly.
This rifle.
And the other thing, too, is it's bolt action.
Okay,
super easy to load, yep. So it'll slide, literally drop it in, and you can move it forward. You don't have to mess with
What's the stock made of?
It's a carbon, not a carbon, but it's a nylon plastic type scenario, which makes it lightweight.
Sure.
And economical at the same time. So realistically, it's probably one of the best little rifles out there in the market today. I think it's a pretty neat little deal.
And these are brand new, available from Savage?
It's from Savage. It's called the Savage Rascal. And it's a pretty neat way, just if nothing else, be able to see if your kids like shooting sports, if they accompany you before and they want to get their own. Welcome to the happy Christmas gift. So I think as a whole, I think that's a good way to jump into it.
Cool. Yeah,
that's a cool item. You know, that's good news because, you know, typically when we do the show in December, we usually come up with our list of holiday gifts for the outdoorsman, and we didn't get a chance to do that this year, so I'm glad you came up with that story.
You know, I'm here to help.
Yeah.
That's my job.
Yeah. It was totally accidental,
I'm a supporting component to the trio that we have here.
Okay.
You're failing miserably, Don.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
I tried to give you a plug, you know.
Yeah, well.
What are we talking about next?
Next. It's a story that we had covered a couple weeks ago. We're following up on the Muskie.
Yep.
64-year record
in Minnesota.
Minnesota. And it was a 55-pound Muskie. It was caught the 22nd of November on Mille Lacs. And he recently, just kind of a review, recently this particular angler broke a decades-old record after reeling in the large Muskie. While the fish was caught in late November, local officials have only just confirmed that it is truly a new state record. It is true. Norlin Sprengler caught that on the 22nd of November in a trip to Mille Lacs. And according to the Minnesota press release from the DNR, he was out with two friends when he reeled in the fish around 8 p.m. And the record had been set 64 years ago. That's a long time record, big time. Hit the last spot at about 9 p.m., felt the tap on the end of the line, brought the fish to the boat, and they netted it. Measured 57.75 inches by 29 inches around. And unfortunately, they did try to revive the fish, but it did not make it. But they did get it to a certified scale, and it was eventually officially identified as a record.
New state record.
Yeah, so.
I hope they have it mounted. That'd be a wonderful display somewhere.
Yeah, they are getting it mounted. They dropped it off the taxidermist, And it, my guess is it'll probably make the rounds in several places at the same time.
Sure.
So,
sports shows, things like that.
Yeah, and this is just kind of a weird thing. You know, we all think of fish, there's a record for everything out there.
There is.
You know, every species, it's got records, right? Well, not so much in North Carolina. There's a fisherman in North Carolina caught a large red hind fish in early October.
Never heard of it.
After reviewing the catch, state officials decided they had to make a new record category and award the top spot to the new fish.
What kind of fish is that?
Red hind fish. According to North Carolina record for this fish and the statement from the Division of Marine Fisheries, he caught the fish in early October. They only recently determined that it set a new record had been set. There was no fish of that particular species.
Had you ever heard of one before?
Never heard. That's why I was blown away. I'm like, what in the world is this? I come up with the weird stories.
I caught a goby one time up in Canada. I had no idea what it was.
Go to Green Bay once.
Oh, yeah?
Welcome to the gobies. That's one of the key things, though. I'll tell you right now, the goby is one of the reasons that the fish, the walleyes on Green Bay, have not done the same migration they've done in the past. They've changed and starting to change their diet over to gobies, and they're staying more resident on the reefs.
Okay.
And the fish is definitely high in fat content, so you're not finding the same issues you used to have with the alewife and those kind of things on the shore. So
interesting.
Big change in how that fishery takes over. So, well, tell you what, guys. That's a wrap, as they say. And wrapping, and hope everybody has a good Christmas coming up. And, yeah, we're looking forward to all the things that come with it. So that is all for us, for Ava, Don, myself. We are the Valley Outdoors. And enjoy the holidays and have fun and be safe. See ya.